Hello, and today we have another wonderful guest. We have Nadette Foley. She's the Intercultural Refugee Project Manager from Glencree, and she's going to talk to us today about the 10th European Remembrance Symposium. Nadette, how are you?
Hello, Mary. I'm very well, thank you.
It's good to have you on the show today, Northside Today. It's good to have you on the show today. Now, before we get into the big conversation, I want to just tell it, if you could just give us a little bit of history about Glencree and its wonderful role as a Peace and Reconciliation Centre.
Yes, Mary. Well, Glencree was founded in 1974, almost 50 years ago now. And it was founded by a woman called Una O'Higgins O'Malley. And she had an extraordinary story herself because at the age of 5 months, her father was assassinated for political reasons because he was the first Minister for Justice in the Irish Free State when we got independence, and he was assassinated in 1927. And she had lived all her life with her mother and her siblings. They had all been grieving for that act of political assassination. So when the violence started, what we call the Troubles in Northern Ireland in the late 60s and early 70s, she was very, very concerned about that, and she thought that people should be working to bring about peace and also to be saying that the violence wasn't in our name down here. It's that people in the south of Ireland would actually get together and try to support the people who were suffering from the political violence. So that's really the origins of Glencree. And I suppose initially what they did was they went to the Irish government and they looked for a building and they were very fortunate to be given the use of a beautiful old British Army barracks, which is now 200 years old, and it's in the Wicklow Hills. It's just outside the lovely village of Enniskerry. And at that time it was derelict, it had been derelict for decades, but they immediately got volunteers to go up the mountains in the weekends and when they could in their spare time, and to restore the buildings and make them fit for purpose. And in the 70s, the first use really as a peace centre was for women and children from Northern Ireland to come down for respite from the violence, because the violence tended to flare in the summers. So in the summers, when the young people were off school, that tended to be the height of the violence, and women and children were suffering terribly, being in the middle of it. And so they were brought down not just to Glencree but to other places around Ireland as well for kind of holidays and respite from the violence. That was the origins of the Peace Centre. But then in the 1980s, a number of people from Ireland were fortunate to be invited by the Mennonite Church, the Peace Church in the States, that who were developing the theory of mediation and conflict resolution, the theory and practice. They were developing skills-based courses. So some people like Geoffrey Corey and others who are still working with us today, they were sent to the States and they gained these skills in creating safe space and allowing people who have very different opinions to what we would call have difficult conversations, to facilitate people to listen to people who they might regard as their enemy, who would be from a very different political viewpoint, who might be from a different religious background, and from a different traditional community in Northern Ireland. So that was kind of the origins of the peace building
this
conflict is work.
FM.
Wow, that was a bit of history there. Now, you are the Intercultural Refugee Program Manager. Your role is so crucial in so many aspects, especially if we're dealing with people from the third world, or what we call the developing worlds, and you've got 30 years of experience behind you. How do you find your role in the light of all that is going on today?
Well, I suppose the people in Glencree about 10 years ago began to look at Northern Ireland and the peace building work that we had done there and our work internationally, and look at what were the new issues coming up, particularly for Ireland on this island, and the whole issue of how we live well together in an intercultural society with people from different faiths and cultures and languages and ethnicities, that became one of the priorities. So 5 years ago, myself and my colleague Louise Keating started to work in Glencree to really to kind of develop, to see what was Glencree's role could be in the intercultural sphere, and particularly given that Glencree's methods are creating safe space, allowing people to express what is of concern to them, and then being able to listen to others who have very different opinions, and that in this case, in terms of people who come here from all over the world, sometimes it is the government and the state authorities and the statutory bodies that they want to engage with, because they want their you know, services to be equitable. They want to get jobs and education access, health services. They want to access all of those services fairly and equitably in Ireland. And, you know, our Irish society has not been as diverse as it is now. And so there are new things that the government, new laws the government needs to pass, like hate crime legislation that is coming in. We need new policies. We need a new national anti-racism strategy. We need a new national migrant integration strategy. So the communities that we're working with, they want government and statutory bodies like the Gardaí, like the health service, you know, like the universities, the new technological universities, the education and training boards that are responsible for teaching English and welcoming new migrant students. They want all of these bodies to listen to the stories that they and their children, the second and third generation, who are growing up here, from Black Irish, from Irish Muslim, from other ethnic minority backgrounds. They want those stories to be listened to, so that the new laws and policies will take all of that into account and will actually create a fairer and more equitable society here in Ireland.
I think you've been doing a great job. I have been down there before, and I've seen how you conduct those safe spaces where people feel free to have those difficult conversations, like you said. Now, today is African Day, as we all know. We are going to go into our main talk, but Glencree has also been doing immense contribution to African Day from the onset. What are the memorable ones that you have before we go on to other conversation?
Okay, yes. No, you're right, Mary. It's great to celebrate Africa Day and to commemorate the day in 1963 when African nations came together to create their own pan-African organization, which is now the African Union. Last year, Dublin City Council asked Glencree to do something for Africa Day to commemorate it, and we were all still under COVID restrictions, so we had an online celebration, and we got people from the African American Irish Diaspora Network to show a film about Frederick Douglass and to tell us about their work, because they're fairly recently founded organization of Black Irish Americans. And then we had people like Jude Hughes, who is the tailor in Abbey Street, who is one of the first in the 20th century, the first kind of known Black Irish people to grow up here. And he grew up in an orphanage in Kerry. And he is the chair of the Association of Mixed Race Irish, who are campaigning so that the stories of the Black Irish who lived in who were born in mother and baby homes and who lived in orphanages here, and some of whom were fostered and adopted, that their specific stories of racism and discrimination are heard in Irish society. So, and then we also had the African Solidarity Centre, we had Akidwa, we had the young people from Tala who have the Irish and African network, and many other organisations, and we had music and poetry and song as well. And then this year Glencree was again asked, but we were also asked with the North East Inner City Dublin One Intercultural Initiative run by Joy Eniola, and so we worked with Joy and with other Irish African communities in the North East Inner City, and we had a wonderful event last Saturday in Belvedere Youth Club, and that brought communities together from South Africa, Zimbabwe, Congo, Somalia, Nigeria, all over Africa, Morocco, the whole continent, and where people just had good fun. They danced and sang and drank mint tea, and but they also answered questions about what they want to tell the city council and the government about making life easier and fairer for Dublin Africans.
Well, I think you lot need to be commended, because even though we sing and we dance, we still want things to be made equitable. And so that is a wonderful way, is a very peaceable way to approach when we're in good when we all come together with dance and with food, and then we still talk about things that are important. I think Glencree deserves a commendation for that. Now, today we are talking about the 10th European Remembrance Symposium. Do you want to give us a background about what that means? Because you're
thank you, Mary.
Please.
Yes, last year Glencree was approached by a Warsaw-based agency called the European Network Remembrance and Solidarity, and they have existed for about 10 or 15 years, and for the last 10 years they have held every year, they've held a remembrance symposium in one of the capital cities of around Europe. And they were founded by the Polish, German, Hungarian and Czech governments, and other governments from Central and Eastern Europe like Georgia and Slovakia and others would also be observer members of this agency. And they bring together academics, historians, museum professionals and also journalists and communications people. And what they're really trying to do is they're trying to look at this history of Europe, particularly Central and Eastern Europe, which has a very difficult and contested history from the First World War, the Second World War, the rise of Nazism, the Soviet Union, and all of that has transpired after that, the Balkan Wars. And because they were coming to Dublin, they chose the theme of reconciliation for this year's symposium. And obviously Glencree seemed like a very good partner then, because that's our business, reconciliation and peace building. And they're including the Good Friday Agreement in the historical events that they're dealing with. But then this was being planned last autumn, and the people from Poland came to Dublin with the help of Forge Ireland to look at the conference venues and to look at the historic memorial sites like the Irish War Memorial in Island Bridge, which commemorates the 40,000 or more Irish dead in the First World War. And they, you know, but then in February, you know, the Ukrainian war happened, the invasion from Russia, and so the whole looking back to the 20th century, and particularly the First World War, it's now obvious that some of the seeds of what is happening, of the difficulties around borders and peoples in Central and Eastern Europe that we're now experiencing through violent conflict, can actually be seen as being sown in the aftermath of the First World War. And as well as a symposium which is on in Trinity from the 1st to the 3rd of June, and everybody is welcome to come to that. It's not only for academics and professors, it's for anybody interested in history or even in current affairs, because they will be discussing what's happening in Ukraine, because that's on the border with Poland. And as well as that, in Collins Barracks in the National Museum in Dublin 7, out in the courtyard there, the ENRS have put an exhibition after the Great War, 1918 to 1923, and that's for everybody to see up to the 14th of June. And it looks at that period after the First World War in a very new light. It looks at all the different borders that were changing, the collapse of empires, the Austro-Hungarian Empire, the German Empire collapsed, and peoples were moving around Europe, and the countries got reconfigured. So it looks at all that, but it also looks at the arts, the role of the arts and visual art in that aftermath, and how people like Kathy Kollwitz, the German visual artist, you know, was grieving for her son who was lost in the First World War, and sort of seeing all of the changes in Europe through that lens of grief and sadness because of the loss of so many young men in the First World War. So the symposium next week is called Reconciliation, A Long and Winding Road, and people can get the details and they can register on www.enrs.com. Or else if they go to the Glencree website, www.glencree.ie, they can equally find the registration button there and register for the seminar. So we have people like Monica McWilliams from Northern Ireland, who will talk about the Good Friday Agreement. We have people like Dr. Jacqueline Hayden, who is assistant professor in Trinity College, but she is an expert on Polish history and has written several books about Polish history in the last number of decades. And we then have lots of experts coming in from Central Europe, from Poland, from Germany and other countries, talking about their own countries, but really in the light of trying to compare and see similarities and contrasts between what has happened in Ireland in the last 100 years. We're commemorating the decade of centenaries here, and that's quite contested, particularly this year, because we're commemorating the Civil War and the foundation of the Irish state, which was contentious because of partition. But partition and changing of borders is something that wasn't unique to Ireland. And most of the phenomena that we have experienced in the last 100 years, if when you look at European history, you can see parallels and similarities. And we had a panel discussion in Collins Barracks last Friday, and that was what was most amazing to me, was to see how Irish historians who know maybe very little about Central Europe were able to talk to their counterparts who were experts in Central Europe, but they were talking on the same issues because there are so many comparisons and contrasts. So it's a very exciting field. It's a field of comparative history and also of looking at the journeys towards reconciliation, that the journeys begin in violence, but that, you know, like the Good Friday Agreement, that there are paths, even if they're long and winding, that there are ways to journey towards bringing people who were enemies and who were in violent conflict to bring them together and to resolve these, you know, political and ethnic and social issues that have divided people for decades.
My word, I think I need to attend. It's 3 days affair. I mean, who would benefit most from attending this particular symposium, do you think?
Well, I think anybody who's interested at all, as I say, in either history, in reconciliation, peace building, current affairs, what's going on, and wanting to know more about what's going on in Central Europe, to meet people who are directly studying that period, you know, the last 100 years and the current situation in Central Europe. There's also a wonderful session on the role of the arts and sport in reconciliation. And there's one called Joanne Fitzpatrick, who's coming down from Northern Ireland, because in Northern Ireland, sport tended to be very divided along sectarian lines. So GAA was seen as nationalist, only for the nationalist community, and say rugby, you know, might be seen only for the unionist community. So Joanne is working on a project to bring young people together around basketball, because basketball didn't have a history in Northern Ireland, so therefore it wasn't divided along either religious or political lines. So, and there are the National Museum as well will be speaking, because 100 years ago, when the treaty to partition Ireland and to set up the Free State was signed in London, obviously there was a delegation that went over from Ireland, and from the Irish government, and also the British government were in those talks, and they, all of those people signed the treaty. So the National Museum has an exhibition on at the moment up on the top floor in Collins Barracks, and it is the Sir John Lavery, the most famous Irish portrait painter of the first half of the 20th century. He was born in Belfast, and he left to the Irish people a gift of the portraits of the people from both sides of the treaty negotiations. So the British and Irish negotiators and the people who signed the treaty. And those portraits are on display, along with certain important artefacts like the pen that Michael Collins signed the treaty with, and various other artefacts. So it's a very good exhibition. So the Dr. Audrey Whitty, who curated that exhibition and established it, and it's on until the end of the year, so everybody's welcome to go and see that in Collins Barracks. So she will be speaking about the process of finding out about the different people that Sir John Lavery painted their portraits, the people from the British government and from the Irish government. And that in itself, to display all those portraits in one room, given how contentious the treaty was at that time, that in itself is using the museum and the visual arts to foster reconciliation, to make us all realise that they were all humans and they were doing their job, they were paid to do their job to negotiate the treaty. And even though at the time it was, it sparked the Civil War, now we can look back in a different light and with a different lens, and we can it humanizes the people on both sides, so that we don't necessarily demonize them anymore. We now see that the people on the British side and the Irish people, like Michael Collins, who signed the treaty, were doing so with the best intentions in order to end the War of Independence and to bring about what they saw as peace here in Ireland.
I mean, that is a marvellous thing. A picture paints 1,000 words, so it is worthy one to go and see and to understand the background of all that was happening and why it was essential it happened anyway, because we are the beneficiaries of those things. Now, I'm just going to ask you one question, and you could answer that anyhow you want. Is it possible to say there is reconciliation without forgiveness? Can we have such a situation?
Ah, yes. Well, in restorative work, people call forgiveness the F word. It's a very it's a very contentious word, and I suppose speaking to somebody who has been involved with restorative justice and restorative practice and restorative facilitation, you can't force forgiveness on anybody. You can't say you have to forgive. It's very much something which is for an individual themselves. It's a place, it's a journey almost that they have to go on. And very often people find that in order to heal from the trauma of the violence that they have been experiencing, that forgiveness is part of that healing. But on the other hand, as I say, it can't be forced, it can't be compulsory. But I suppose it's one of the things, one of the factors which might be in a reconciliation journey, because reconciliation is not it's not a fixed point. And again, reconciliation will mean very different things to different people, and very often justice and truth are in there as well as forgiveness. And if people are not, if people not allowed to know what has happened truly, and to feel that they have got some level of justice or fairness in the process, then they're not, that's all part of a reconciliation journey, as I say. And Glenn Cree, is just one of the actors in what is a very complex process. one of the theorists of reconciliation is a man called John Paul Lederach, and he talks about there not being a peace process in the singular sense, that there are peace processes, so that at all levels of society, when the Good Friday Agreement was signed by the people in power, you know, if you like, that's people of status who are elected or who are civil servants. But in reality, what has happened in the 24 years since the Good Friday Agreement is that everybody in Northern Ireland has been involved in some way in the peace process, and they may be willing or they may be unwilling to forgive or to reconcile, but everybody is impacted in some way, and that peace processes have to happen at all levels of society. So Glencree would also run a women's leadership program, and that has a women's peace building network, which is all Ireland and which works with women from the two traditional communities in Northern Ireland, but also diaspora women coming from the Congo, Somalia, Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, Sierra Leone, all over the world. They come from places where they have fled conflict, so they are also needing to talk about it and to be listened to and to be helped to gain skills in peace building and advocacy and mediation. So, I mean, I suppose it's a reconciliation is something very complex and takes time, and everybody has to do it at their level, you know, have to kind of act differently maybe. Reconciliation could be, you know, the religious leaders of different communities coming together, but it could also be people at schools, people from different schools in Northern Ireland who are maybe from Catholic or Protestant schools getting together, going on outings. You know, Glencree would run some cross-border schools work where schools from different traditions in Northern Ireland and across the border here would meet with politicians, again, from the north and from the south, and would prepare questions and would be able to discuss, you know, issues around this island and what kind of political future this island needs to have with them. So all of that, we would count all of that as reconciliation work, not just the high level work with the politicians from London, Belfast and Dublin. And this week we have some high level delegations coming from the US as well to discuss the situation in Northern Ireland with the British and Irish and Northern Ireland governments. So, but it's important to recognise that there are many layers to reconciliation, and that if the people at the bottom layer, if you like, the ordinary people, aren't involved and given skills and opportunities to meet with and to listen to people who have other viewpoints, then you're not going to get a fully reconciled society.
That's a very good point. I love the way you answered it. I could listen to you all day. In fact, I hope you'd have a book coming out, because I think that when you said there are different layers of reconciliation, I think that's very comforting for people, because, you know, the different violence that people experience from different countries they're coming from and the different things that happens to them means that they can have the opportunity to talk, but also know that they don't have to forgive immediately. They can work through those things, and I think that's what makes a good centre for peace and reconciliation like Glencree. So well done for that. Now, if you could just tell us, we've come very close to the end, we've got literally a minute or so to left. If you could just tell us again where we can become part of this, just to reaffirm for us how we can be involved in this 3-day symposium.
Okay, well, just again to emphasize that you can come for any part of it. It's completely free, and you can register by going on www.enrs.com or going to the Glencree website, www.glencree.com. northcree.ie, and you'll find out more about our work there. But you can also you will see the long and winding road with the banners, with the graphics for the symposium. And as I say, to emphasise that students, postgraduate students, people interested in history, ordinary people, anybody interested in what's going on in Europe, anybody interested in the role of museums in helping us to tell the stories of history, anybody is very welcome to come to Trinity College from the 1st to the 3rd of June. It's starting in the afternoon of Wednesday the 1st. And if I could also mention just briefly that the Holocaust Education Trust of Ireland have an event at the 1st of June, Wednesday the 1st of June at 10:30 in Dublin 8, and that is to commemorate the victims of the Holocaust, six victims of the Holocaust who were from Dublin. And brass stones are being put into the footpaths where those six people lived, and that's called the Stolpersteine project. It's a German name, and the artist who developed that project in the last two decades is coming from Germany to launch the Dublin Stones, and people can contact the Holocaust Education Trust Ireland if they want to attend that event.
Thank you so much, Nadette. You've been a great guest, and we look forward to all that is going to be happening in the symposium. And well done, Clancree, for continuing to bring peace.
Across Northeast Dublin. 90.3. This is Near FM.